Let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast here with the family. And Dad, the playoffs are coming up soon. And just before we get started, can I ask you, when you were coaching, did you ever, how did you get the team prepared for the playoffs? Was there anything different in strategy, or they had to get up for it, or what?
Well, you have to get your goalies ready. That's the main thing. You go in, you have to keep them very happy. And I remember Cheevers, he was, you think it'd be easy with him, eh?
Cause
he
to always, keep them happy. How do you keep a hockey player happy?
Can't be hurt. They can't have nagging injuries. You have to watch if they, because they won't say anything Cheevers would. Jerry Cheevers was our goaltender. He was number one goaltender, but you had to be very careful. You had to have them right in the top form.
Oh.
And you had to have them rested. You can't work them too hard near the end. The rest of the team.
Because a lot of times you were in a dogfight, going right down to the wire with Buffalo.
Yeah, with Buffalo. Buffalo had a terrific, but I hate to say it, and I know some people in Buffalo listen. They had a team that was unbelievable. They had the French Connection line. They had a good goaltender. They had everything going. So, Danny Gare.
Jimmy Schoenfeld.
So when you had to keep your goalies healthy, but you were in a dogfight for first spot, how did you burn out your goalie then? No?
Well, I was fortunate in Boston. I had two terrific goaltenders. And we won't go into Jilly Gilbert again, setting a record, still stands, 17 straight wins. But you had to keep your goalies ready. And then guys like Jean Rattel, which were a little old. We had a couple of guys that were a little old. I think we talked about it last week. You dress them. I would never, ever, ever not dress a guy. I want him to come in the morning, like we said last week, cut his sticks and get him ready and, have their toast and tea in the morning and have their meal and have their nap and the whole deal. Keep them in the groove, as you say.
You want to keep their routine the same.
Yeah. I would never, because when I've been with teams. When I was with Rochester, we had a terrific team. I mean, we won 3 years in a row. We'd not dress guy, and I could see you threw him off.
Not dress the really good older players, yeah. Just to give them a rest.
Well, he thought it was rest, and I would always play the guys, and then when we get up a big score or we get up a couple of goals or something, they wouldn't play, and they knew what I was doing.
Yeah, that's good.
And the third and fourth line would play more. So that's how I got my team ready.
Yep. Speaking of goalies, Dad, a lot of Toronto Maple Leaf fans are mad at you because you said Campbell, their goalie, was cocky, and they think that was a slight against them.
No, I don't know how they say. I should have explained it a little more. I love a cocky goalie. One thing I love is a goalie that's got lots of confidence. And if you ever seen Terry Sawchuk. I mean, when he played, he had that cocky. I should say cocky. I guess
so. You equate cockiness with confidence.
Yeah,
it's the same to you.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
But a lot of people don't think it's the same.
No, well, I think it was the same. And the guys and that were really good. They had that air about them. They had an air. And he's the same way. He's laughing all the time. He's laughing every time I see him. Well, we'll see. The big deal, as I've said before, and Howard Berger did a great
blog. He does a blog. Howard Berger used to be a reporter and on The Fan and on I don't know what newspaper he was, but now he does a blog.
Probably. Yeah, he does a blog anyhow. He did a great blog, and he that's what he asked me. How do you get ready? And as I said to him, the season, regular season, means nothing. Like Zippo, nothing. And I'll go back and I'll say it again. Tampa was so good 2 years ago. Remember, they were up. Columbus walked in and just snapped them four straight. Doesn't mean a thing during the regular season because it's altogether different hockey. Let's hope. Although, watching Hockey Night in Canada, I hate to say it, last night. I'm doing Sunday. The violence. And I'm thinking, what happened? Did something happen?
Did you miss something?
Something happened. And what happened? And they were still talking about Wilson.
Yeah.
And he didn't think it was anything. Not to go into it again, but he didn't think it was anything. That's why he took off his sweater and let on he was Superman. You know, up to the front. He thought it was funny. And they were talking about the violence of the game and life is changing. And holy, I mean, I I'm not criticizing them. Well, I guess I am criticizing them.
Well, the hard thing was that they go, oh, he punched him in, you know, Wilson punched the Ranger in the back of the head.
Punched him on his shoulder. He left his gloves on.
And then Panarin has jumped on his back.
What is he supposed to do? Guy jumps on his back. Panarin, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, he's out for the season probably.
Well, three games. But. Yeah,
two games left. And let's see, the Jim Nolan, I think the guy's name is Jim Nolan, the owner. Isn't that the owner? What is he? Anyhow, he's the head guy. He fires the guys the next day. Now, they were going to fire them anyhow? What happened? I couldn't believe the furor over the thing. And Paris, it's a good job we got Paris as the safety guy, or what do you call him?
Yeah, he's director of player safety. I mean, he made the right decision.
Absolutely,
but it was the hardest decision.
Yeah, easiest thing for him to do, and believe me, they will get somebody in there, be a sweetheart. I think they're talking about, they mentioned Correa.
Yeah,
I mean, he played the game sweet. Well, I mean, he was a good player. Don't get me wrong; he'd be sweet. But he would have suspended guys.
Everybody says, Paris, he's a goon, he's a dummy, and all that. He's 4 years in Princeton. Call it, which is even in a lot of ways more prestigious than Yale or Harvard.
Is that right?
And he was voted by Sporting News one of the most intelligent athletes in sports.
Well, I won't hold that against him.
And but you're right. One of the guys last night said, "Well, he should have suspended him for the optics." Well, you can't do that. You can't say, "Well, nothing really happened," but. Kind of look bad, so we're going to give you a game or two.
Well, that's the old story. They're worrying. They're worried about the press.
They're worried about what's right.
Yeah, but it was last night. They were talking about the violence of the game. It's changing. Everything is changing. I'm thinking, holy smoke, something else happened. Something happened. Like somebody did something.
Thank goodness for Bieksa. He was the only one that seemed.
Yeah, Bieksa's good.
Yeah, he was the only one. He fought Tom Wilson too. He said.
Oh, I like Bieksa. How do you pronounce it?
Bieksa, I think.
How do you? I always liked him when he played, and he's good on television. Thank goodness he's there. I mean, you better be careful. And he just goes so far.
Yeah. He knows. Does he keep pushing the line like you did?
Well, he's pushing the line, but he don't go too far.
He should know.
But it just what a strange year for the Rangers. Well, they signed that D'Angelo $9 million contract.
Yeah.
And then a week, was it 2 weeks in? He gets a
one-way contract, I think, too.
Yeah. And he gets into a fight with the goalie and they send him home. Nobody will touch
him.
Yeah,
but he'd been in trouble before.
So
he'd have jumped in.
Yeah. So he's $4.5 million sitting at home because nobody else will take him. And then that Panarin, he got that he said something bad about Putin, and then all of a sudden all these rumors were coming out about him from Russia. So he had to take some time off, and then you had this thing.
Remember Putin at the Olympics? That was the one thing he wanted to win was hockey.
It's Sochi, yeah.
And he came. The only thing he came to was the hockey, and he was sitting up by secret, eh?
Yeah.
And I said, and I somehow or other I saw the Marsh Pigs, and I said, they are not the same marsh pegs that they use in the National Hockey League.
The pegs, those are the pegs to hold the goal post, hold the goal post.
I said, that could cost them dearly, during the game. This is no kidding. That's why everybody watched Coach's Corner. And what happened was, they I think they were high school or something. They went up and they stayed up and they scored a goal. Was it an overtime? I think it was an overtime. Anyhow, it was an important goal. It would have been the winning goal. And they lost, and they got put out. And they should have won the Russians that year.
Yeah, well, if they come in second, Canada would have beat them.
Well, at least they'd be in the final game, and anything can happen. But I remember Putin was at the cheering for Putin, but he looks a pretty tough guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't cross this guy.
Well, I'll tell you, if they needed motivation, that would have been it. Having Putin watching you.
Yeah.
Panarin, he said something bad about Putin, and then all of a sudden all these accusations came out of Russia. So they've had a tough year, the Rangers, but as you say, I can't believe like everybody who's saying, oh well, that statement that they said, which was awful, what they put out about Paris was what you know wasn't fit to
I
do.
I think they were mad either.
Yeah. But you know what I think that I got to say, you know where I think it all started was the Rangers on air guys. Like they're insipid whining about Tom Wilson and doing the, you know, and going on and on about it. It just started to snowball. So then, you know, you put it on the internet and you hear them whining about Tom Wilson and how terrible he is. And then it starts getting momentum, right? Like if you had the Washington guys talking about it, nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
But the Rangers guys, and then, but I mean.
Well, that's why I say Wilson thought it was, he didn't think it was anything. I didn't think it was anything. He never took his gloves off. When he take your gloves off, you're looking for trouble. I mean,
yeah,
he kept his gloves off.
Because he could have taken the gloves off and he could have pounded him into the ground.
Oh, he could have. He'd give him a couple of swats and that was it.
And they said, well, his helmet came off. Well, that's not Tom Wilson's fault. His helmet came off. He's one of those guys that doesn't put his helmet on.
Well, he took it. He takes it off.
No. Panarin. Helmet came off, but he's one of those guys that has a really loose strap.
Yeah, and we won't go into it again, but he did. And Wilson took his sweater off and everything. And
but
made it worse.
As you say, you know, sometimes the karma comes around, and now Wilson's out.
He got a knee last night.
Got a knee.
Saturday night. And that guy.
You know, but the funny thing, you and I were talking about it, Dad. We're seeing that a lot in minor.
Never used to see knee.
Never, we never saw a knee. And once they came in with the hitting, like the headshots. So the minor referees, they side on they go on the side of caution.
Yeah.
So if you hit a guy with your shoulder to shoulder, they'll call it a headshot.
Yeah.
That your
regardless,
head is,
and you know you can't blame them.
You know because
well they got to cover themselves. They know right. The parents are watching in the.
So now what the kids are doing. Is they if they got a guy lined up, they don't want to hit him with the shoulder because they know they're going to get a penalty. They'll stick their knee out and clip the guys who are going by. And we've never used to see it, but the last time we didn't go out this year, but last year we were out. I bet you we saw 10, 12 kneeing penalties, which we
and
never
and they never you know that used to be them. A dirty that it was one of the dirtiest things you could do. You talk about violence. I mean that to me that's a record. They wreck a guy's.
But the thing
career.
Is, people that don't know a lot about hockey, you know, that are watching those minor midget games and all that, they don't see that, right? So they don't visualize that as violence and everything. So you know, what did your mother used to say? The road to hell is paved
with good intentions.
With good intentions, and that's how it's evolved, right?
Well, anyhow, we won't go talk about that. I want to talk about congratulations to Dave Barr and all his assistants. They did a great job.
Yep, Canada won.
Now under
18 tournament in Texas, of all places.
Did they draw? Did it? I didn't see. No.
No. Well, they were originally what happened was they were supposed to have it in Michigan, but it was that you know Michigan they're a Republican state, so no, you can't come, or a Democratic state, so you know, no, they shut it all down and. Texas said, yeah, we're open.
Yeehaw, we're open for business.
Yeah.
Now, you say, and you've been involved in this, you say he should be the coach of the juniors.
I think, like, a guy like that, like you said it too, Dad, one guy should be the coach forever.
Well, the United States, a lot of people at under 18, I asked, why do they have some... United States won so many...
Oh, yeah, they're like...
Yeah.
They've won
now,
like,
tell a reason why.
Well, because the U.S. Development League, like that team, they'll get the best players and they'll be on a team all year, right?
So they play together.
They play together.
Not thrown together like the Canadian kids.
They play all year. And then what happens is it really isn't a best on best tournament because a lot of the kids that played this year, and it wasn't even a contest with Canada, it wasn't even close in any of the games. A lot of them would be in, you know, they might be injured from the CHL. They'd be in the playoffs like that. Berard, who scored all the goals,
terrific.
He'd probably be in Edmonton. He'd probably be in the playoffs with the Oil Kings. And Shane Wright, you know, hopefully he would have been in the playoffs with Kingston. And those two guys led it. So it's not really a best on best tournament. You just kind of cobble together, you know, what teams. And same with the Russians and all that. There, it's not a best on best. But this year it was because none of the kids were playing.
Yeah, I just like to jump in and say, can you imagine the announcers if they were United States announcers, and seven of the top of your team, and they won it, and Can you imagine, or never mind the U.S. and Canadian announcers, why they'd say that's the greatest development of the world? Now, GTHL had seven guys, right? But who were they?
Seven. The GTH, Brent Clark from Don Mills, Brent Othman from Don Mills, and, of course, Shane Wright from Don Mills. Francisco Pinelli played for the Red Wings. Danny Ziklet played for the...
I thought he was a Russian, remember?
He is. He was born in Moscow.
Oh, well, that was
and
right.
then he's, but he got Canadian citizenship and he played.
When did he come over here?
Probably a couple of years before we saw him. So, yeah. And so he would have been like 14, I think. I'm not really sure. Ethan Del Mastro played for the Marlies and Wyatt Johnson. So
I love
they
that
all
name, Wyatt.
They all played for the GTHL the 1 year.
Three of them played for Marlies, didn't they? I
mean, two played for the Marlies and three played for Don Mills.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Imagine if it had been Canadian announcers, and well, there were Canadian announcers. Can you imagine if the States, say seven guys came from one league in the States, why that's the greatest thing in the world. Nothing is even mentioned. And the winning goal, tell us about the winning goal.
The final game, the big one was... that was the Don Mills trio, we'll call them. They played together for Don Mills. They were seven on their minor midget year. They were 70-1. they lost one game in overtime in a tournament. But it was Brent Clark who was the defenseman, Brent Othman who was,
and they were the winning goal,
and Shane Wright. So Othman had a goal and an assist that game. And
played for Don Mills.
Played for Don Mills. Wright had two goals. And Clark had an assist, but the funny thing was that they were together on the OHL Cup, and people don't know what the OHL Cup is. It's all the best kids at that under 17 age or minor midget age, and they all play together in a tournament. And they get guys up from the Michigan, from the States, and from New York to play, and it was a big deal because they started broadcasting it on Sportsnet. And
yeah, it was.
Let's tell the real story. They started broadcasting. Why they started broadcasting it? Because wasn't this the one that you wanted?
Well, Scott Moore.
Yes,
he was the head guy.
And you thought it was awful that they didn't televise it on TV.
I remember you're right, Cindy.
And then what did they say? Okay, we'll televise it. How about you and Ron do it?
No, and you and Ron. Well, I'll do it. So I remember the first game. Where was that matinee?
They had it at the Mattamy Center, which is the old Maple Leaf Gardens.
It looks just like the map. Can I tell you a story about that? I'm standing there before the game, matinee. How do you spell it?
Mattamy.
And this guy came in, a young guy came in, and we were standing looking. And he says, you know, I'm the son. I don't know his name. Anyhow, he says, we had to clean this up. He says, I remember we came in, and we steamed everything to keep it. And we come in the next morning, and it was all brown all over the seats. And I'm thinking, what the heck? And it was the nicotine. In the old days, they had smoked, you know, like, and it went all up the ceiling, and it was all brown on the ceiling. And when they put the steam on, it all fell on the seats.
Right, but some people won't realize what you're talking in the sense of it's the top of the Maple Leaf Gardens.
Yeah.
It's a rink on, and when you look up, you can still see the roof of the old Maple Leaf Gardens, and they have really done it up.
Oh,
nice.
They did a great job.
They saved all those old pictures that were used to be in the gardens. I mean, when you used to go to the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, I know I just walked the halls looking at all those gorgeous pictures, and then I often wondered, gee, I wonder what they did with them all, and there they all are. It's the top of Ryerson, right? It's the top of Ryerson, too.
Anyhow, that's where they had, I said to Scott Moore, I said, okay, Scott, you know, and I give him heck. I said, that's a great game and all that stuff. He said, okay, we'll put it on the matinee. And he said, you and Ron will do it. Okay, all right, we'll do it. And I remember the very first game. There wasn't a soul
there.
We were standing there about a half hour before. There wasn't a soul. He's, holy smokes, what if nobody comes out to see the game?
So we actually went over to the other side that was being that would be shows, yeah, just so it looked like there were some bodies,
yeah,
and
all
in
of
the
a
seats.
Sudden, people started to come in and...
Yeah.
Well, and you know what, Dad? Can I equate it to something else? That when you and Bobby started the prospect games, when you started that,
oh,
how many,
yeah,
moons ago, nobody would go to those games.
That was in the gardens.
That was in the gardens. I remember we actually sat, the family sat behind the bench just to make it look like there was people,
right,
there.
Oh,
yeah, I remember Dell playing with his Buzz Lightyear toys in the back. But anyway, and then look how it grew. And I think,
yeah,
that
then
the potential...
Got rid of me. Then he got rid of me, not Bobby. Yeah.
But what I'm trying to equate is that I think that the OHL Cup almost had the same type of momentum going.
Yes, and great games.
Oh, yeah. I went to them too, and it was a lot. It was something to see.
Overtime goals. And,
oh, yeah. And you would be lovely enough to, you'd go down and give them their medals. And it was really,
yeah,
a nice, a great, great
I
time.
Do you think that'll come back?
No.
No. It was Scott,
you
know, Moore.
You don't think that they would televise it?
No. No, they didn't, because they the one year they had it, they didn't televise it. And that's the one thing. The one thing with the sports networks, like in Canada, they do nothing to promote amateur sports.
Please.
They run some, you know, some commercials and stuff like that. But
I like the one where they kind of a commercial, a kid can't even skate.
Yeah, but, you know, in the States, they do, like ESPN and that, they show high school games, yeah, and they do, yeah, stuff. They you know, they feel they have to give back. In the Canadian things, they have absolutely no...
Well,
don't you sort of blame, like, why wouldn't Hockey Canada push that more to have the big rate TV stations and
care.
All that?
They
don't
care. I mean, there's a perfect example.
Where they should be promoting it.
Well, there's a perfect example of seven guys from the GTHL. I don't think the GTH might have been mentioned once. But, I mean, seven guys, seven out of... Well, they were the main guys, and Shane Wright. And we've been watching Shane Wright since when?
We first saw him when he would have been 13. It was the first time we saw him.
I tell you a funny story about that. When he'd get over the line, he'd do what Gretzky used to do when there was nobody to pass it to. He'd go on the right-hand side. Never on the left-hand side. Go on the right-hand side, and he'd look for guys coming in, and he'd feed them then. But he used to do that all the time. He'd never try to score, eh, Tim?
Nope.
No, he thought an assist was as good as a goal.
He was a team player. That's
well,
what
he
his
was
parents
a team player.
Was,
but no,
oh, look
he was
at him.
Even
he's not
more,
a
he was even more than that. He was like, he'd never try to shoot. So, well, who was his agent?
I can't remember the guy.
We remember it next year.
Yeah.
He has Bedard, too.
Yeah, same guy represents Bedard in him.
Yeah, woo. He's got two beauties coming. We'll find out by next year, by next game. Or I call it the next game. But anyhow, he said to him, would you have lunch with him? I said, no, I won't have lunch with him, Shane Wright, because if I do it with him, then I'd end up doing it with everybody. So I said, just tell him one thing. I won't mention the cars. I'll say, guys that score drive expensive cars. Guys that pass drive cheap cars. By God, the next week got a hat trick.
Well, and just to kind of get back to the OHL Cup, they were down three. I think
he
three,
had bad back too.
Yeah, he was down three nothing to the Red Wings, and they had a player in his name, Anton Fantelli, which
people, I like him too, boy.
He'll be a high draft.
Remember
pick.
That name, Fantelli.
And I said, no, Don Mills will come back, and sure enough, went into overtime. It was what was the score? I think it was 4-5-5. And it went from Clark, who was one of the best, better defensemen on the under 18, to Wright, to Hoffman, and that's what happened in.
Who scored the winning goal.
Yeah. So
you know, I think that they were thinking of. I hope everybody.
Just before we get into that, though, you know, the one thing that I really did notice, Dad, but just talking about Dave Barr, we kind of got off on the subject, is that he's been around forever, been all over the place, so he knows. And again, he's one of those guys that wasn't, you know, he had to survive by his wits, you know, wasn't an overly skilled
guy. Well, can I name the places he's been?
Yeah.
I wrote it down. He's been with the Bruins. He's been with the Rangers. He's been with Hartford. He's been with Detroit, New Jersey. And I think he's with Dallas, too. And he coached in the IHL. He coached in the American League. he was an assistant, so he knows what's going on.
So he should be the coach for Team Canada. Like, yeah, he should go to the next level, and then when the juniors come, he should be the coach because he's coached against them.
He's calm. He's very calm.
But you know the one thing I really noticed, Dad, is that he got the kids to flip the puck out, and you don't see that in the NHL anymore.
You know what's a funny thing? I used to, every practice, every coach's corner, I used to mention that. And you're right. You know, in National Hockey League, you very seldom see that anymore.
No, but he, but when they were ahead of the Russians and they got up, as soon as the defense looked up and saw they recovered, because the Russians, what they did, they weren't forechecking. They were just lining guys up on their blue line, and he just had them flip it
over them.
Now, the young kids, sometimes they have a trouble flipping it out. the one kid dropped an F-bomb.
By the way,
flip it in Europe.
If I don't think about this, if I don't say it, I'll forget it. I noticed in the National Hockey League they've stopped that silly power play.
Yeah,
they don't do it anymore. That would be so. All you'd have to do is if the wingers are covered, have the defense stand up. So they stopped that silly thing. That was, I remember last year, I said, this is most the silly thing I've ever seen in my life. So they don't do that anymore anyhow.
Yeah.
But I'd like to talk about Roy. Now, how do you pronounce that name, Tim?
Pechenovsky.
Now, I hope you remember, if you remembered, three of his, he was murdered, and his mother was murdered, Chrissy, and his sister, Vanna, I think was her name, and they played Bantam together in 2000.
Right, he was the Don Mills goalie, and the year before, we really watched him in the minor midgets, and he was with Shane Wright and all those guys, and he was with the team that
they were going to win the championship.
Yeah, they won the championship before, and then this year they were, and then the next year they were. This was the big year, right? It's like that's the big year because all the OHL scouts are watching, and NCAA scouts are watching.
And you know,
he was murdered with his mom and his younger sister.
Well, allegedly murdered or whatever you want to call it. He was a terrific goalie. He was fantastic, and so the next year I think they out of 70 games they only lost one game in overtime. I think it was in a tournament
or
something.
Yeah,
and he was fantastic, and they scored and they wore his number. His number what was his number?
74.
And they wore his number, like in the OHL Cup, and I'm sure they were thinking of, and they scored the winning goal in the OHL Cup, and they scored, and the three of them scored the goal in Canada Cup, and I'm sure they were thinking of
Roy.
Othman, he got the winner, eh? Yeah.
I think Othman was
there. Yeah, Arthur, yeah. And I bet you they were thinking of Roy. I'm sure they were thinking of Roy. What a sad day. And he would have been the goaltender. He was fantastic. And I just want to mention his name. And we met his dad, eh, Voss?
Yeah.
And he stood by himself down in the corner.
Yeah, he used to still go to the games and stuff. You know, because people don't realize that aren't into hockey how that becomes the parents' social life, right? Like
yeah,
you're
sure
with the rink,
does.
You're with the parents every day.
And a lot of times it's the same team. They just move up.
Right.
It's the same players.
Yeah. Like
so.
He would have been together for probably 3 years. Like
3 years. The parents, you know, and you know, there's a lot of time to kill.
They had
at
a
those
family
rinks.
Going.
Yeah.
And you know, Dell was.
Well, you go to tournaments together, you go to practices together. There's a lot of time that you're just hanging around the rink, so you get to be pretty close with the other parents.
Well,
right?
I just wanted to bring his name up, too, because I thought it was ironic that the three guys from the GTHL got the winning goal in the Canada Cup, and then three guys that were involved in
the
OHL Cup. Well, the two guys I want to mention as we end, Connor McDavid, we could do Connor McDavid every week. I mean, this guy, the best hockey player in the world. Nobody's even close as far as I'm concerned. And what did he get, 100 points?
He got his 100th point and, what was it, 53 games, I think it is.
Fantastic.
So I think they said he could have got, if it was a regular season, he might have hit 150, 160 points.
The way he was going, he was getting 3 points every night. Holy smokes.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Just to say, you know, our sponsor is spreads.ca, and it's a First Nations online casino and sports book, and it's tailored to Canadians, and playoffs are coming up. Sign up now, and you and use the code GRAPES. You get $500, and your first sports bet, they give you a spot you $25. But one of the big things there, which is kind of cool, is you can do what they call prop bets.
Oh, yeah?
So a prop bet is you can, like, every time Edmonton plays, you can bet whether Connor McDavid is going to score. And you can bet whether he's going to score in the first period, second period, third period, or overall.
Well, it could be going to be a little different in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, but I just said, if you just kept dropping $10 on Connor McDavid scoring a goal.
Will they be ticked off if I give my who should win and upsets?
No, they want you to do it. They wanna give you. We'll do it. Like it's kind of weird. Some of the teams are done now, and there's some teams got 7 games left. So, and one game got postponed the other day. So we'll do one that'll be just strictly the playoffs and who's going to beat who.
Okay.
But we know it looks like. We don't know. Like, because we don't know if Winnipeg or Montreal.
That's not. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know what's going to go on. But But Connor Brown, he had 19 goals, and he played in the GTHL. Played for the Marlies. His dad coached.
Dan
Brown. And he coached a long time and was
He knows what's going on.
And he's in the Etobicoke, which is
I've always liked Connor Brown.
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame for a lot of the stuff that he's really been big in minor hockey. But
now Ottawa, I'll give you some advice. They can't let that team go. DJ Smith is a good coach, but if you're going to let guys go, if you're not going to pay them the dough, they're going to leave. That's the way life is. I mean, like, you go where the money is. I mean, the money, and they have to keep that team together. They can't let Connor Brown go. They can't let the Tay Chucks go. They can't let those guys go.
No, because if they had any goaltending in the first month, they'd be right in the thick of the playoffs.
Yeah, oh, you better believe it. And the way they're going now, and I don't pay attention to teams that are out of the playoffs because it used to tick me off when I would be fighting for with Buffalo, like we said, in the last couple of weeks, we play a team in October and they were lousy. We play the same team, and they no pressure on them, and loosey goosey, who cares? And I remember one time, Colorado, and they had to go through our bench. I said, "Where were you guys in October?" And they beat us in the Boston Gardens.
Oh,
and the Boston Gardens, I remember. And they put their sticks in the air as if they'd won the Stanley Cup. Oh, was I mad.
I could see the headlines. I could see that.
Yeah, because we never lost the Gardens. Oh. And they beat us. We thought they were going to throw in their sticks, and they didn't. And, you have to admire them. They don't quit. But, boy, where were they in October? Anyhow, forget that. Ottawa's not like that. I look at the shots on net. They're about even or they're ahead.
Well, yeah, when they were losing, they were out shooting teams.
Yeah. So he's a good coach. They cannot let players go to other teams for more money. If you're going to stay in the game and you want to be good, you got to spend the money. Anyhow, Connor Brown, I just thought I'd mention his name. I'm not putting him with McDavid, but he's still a good player.